Anyway, some people might consider this the best Sunday of the year because the NFL is back. And it's back to a full schedule. The fantasy football starts and all that stuff. You know, I think if you play your cards right and you're a football fan, you can watch football five nights a week between college and the pros and high school. I think Tuesday and Wednesday are the only days that they don't have college football or any type of football on TV. So some people, this is the best time of year. Now, when we're getting ready to watch a football game, unlike other sports, you know, like basketball, hockey, baseball, you don't really get ready to have like a whole event to watch those types of games because there's a game every night for those things. But for football, there's like a checklist that we go through. Do we have food and drink to watch during the game? Is my TV working? If not, I got to go to Best Buy and get the 60-inch flat screen just so I make sure I can see the game and so forth. Have I blocked out 3 hours of time? Did I rearrange my schedule, do my chores on Saturday so I can watch the game on Sunday? And of course, am I wearing my lucky jersey or my lucky shirt? You know, because my team will not win unless I'm wearing that shirt or whatever outfit you choose. Now, these two, that's all right. Those two little guys, they're ready to go. You could tell that they're San Francisco 49er fans. They got their faces painted. They got their lucky shirts on. And so they're ready to root on their 49ers tomorrow night. We're going to talk today about checklists. And according to simpleproductivityblog.com, there's reasons that people make checklists. Are any of you in here a list person? I probably should be a list person because my memory is not very good anymore. But some of the reasons people have checklists, you don't have to rethink something. You've already made notes about it, so you don't have to go back to the beginning and start all over again. You don't have to waste time and energy remembering. How many of you like go into a room? I do this, and I have a reason that I'm going into that room. I get into that room, and I'm like, why am I in this room? I do that a lot when I'm going to go look at this on the computer. I go up there and I'm like, what am I looking for on the computer? So maybe a checklist would help me with that. You can hand a task off to someone easily. All right, so we have these 9 things we need to do on this project. You know what? Roger, you take number 4 because I know that you can do number 4 really well. You can tell at a glance where you are in the process. How many of our boxes have been checked along the way? And my wife, Dawn, she keeps a lot of lists, and they're all on our refrigerator. There's a list for groceries. There's a list of stuff that she wants to do, and there's around the house. And there's also, like, if we're going on vacation or stuff, a list of things that we need for vacation. So Dawn keeps track of all these different things that's going on in our house by these lists that she puts up on the refrigerator. Now, we're going to talk about God's checklist for Christians. And as Christians, we probably have like our own checklist. Go to church. So all of you here today, or all of us here today, you can check that off for today. We've said some prayers today, so you can check that off. We're going to hear some Bible scriptures, so you can check off reading the Bible. Now for the tough ones. Try to live out Christ's teachings. As Christians, that's our main goal, is to try to live out those teachings. And when we don't live those out, we should be doing the fifth thing, which is asking for forgiveness. According to our reading today, God's checklist is very simple for us. It is 2 things. Love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the only 2 requirements that God has for us as a checklist. But those checklists have a lot of different components to them, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. First off, we're going to look at what does it mean to love God? Would you agree that God does not have to improve his relationship with us? Would you agree that God's love or God's relationship towards us is perfect? We are the ones that need to work on the relationship with God. So I thought of this as, just think of a relationship you have on earth with your spouse, with your kids, with a best friend, with your parents. What does it mean to love God? First thing, we want to make him happy. You want to make your spouse happy, would you say that? You want to make your parents happy for the most part, unless you're one of those kids that likes to drive your parents nuts and so forth. But for the most part, if we love someone, we want to make them happy. And Jesus tells us in John 14, if you love me, keep my commands. That's tough to do. And it all stems from that. If you can keep my commands, says Jesus, you're showing me love. Other things that we can do to show God our loves, and this is one of his commands, put him first in our lives. And we talk about our priorities. And every one of us here made God a priority this morning, which is great to see. We talked about in Sunday school how there are some people, even though it might be the greatest Sunday of the year as far as NFL goes, I think church attendance goes down during the NFL season because people are now tailgating and, you know, 4 hours before a game and so forth. So, you know, the NFL may push God out for some people because they need to do that tailgating, and they're not putting God first in their lives. And God spoke all of these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Do we have other gods before him? Do we have our job before him? Do we have money before him? Do we have hobbies before him? Do we put our family before him? You know, it's nice to say, oh, I'm doing all this stuff for my family, but if it takes away from God's time, that's not making God happy. He has to be first above all things in our lives. We want to spend time with him. If you love someone, you want to spend time with them. And each day, if we take time to have a conversation with God, and not just a one-way conversation when we pray, God, I want this, help me with this, help me with this, may this happen. But also taking the time to see if God's saying anything to us. Have you ever been in a relationship where you don't get a word in edgewise? Have you ever been in that relationship where you don't talk very much, you just listen and listen and listen? It gets frustrating after a while. God wants us, he wants us to pray to him, but he also wants us to listen to him. And as a great example, what happened to Samuel? The Lord came and stood there, calling as out at the other time. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Do we ever say that to God? God, speak to me. I'm listening. What do you need me to do? What do you want to say to me? Another way we can show God love is our minds are focused on God while we worship him. Every time Rich Evans comes up front here, he always says, let's put worldly thoughts out of our minds. And I think that is great. You know, if you've ever been out to dinner with someone, does it get a little annoying when all they're doing is texting another person? Does it get a little bit annoying when all they're doing is watching sports at this, you know, trying to get a glimpse of what's going on TV or something like that? You know, you're out with that person for a reason, and you would like to have their attention and not feel second fiddle while you're eating that dinner or doing whatever. That's the same thing when we come here to worship God. You know, this is our hour that we give to God a week, or 2 hours that we set aside and we come and make an effort to worship him. let's make sure. And I know it's tough. We're thinking about, what am I going to do the rest of the day? Where am I going to eat lunch? All that stuff. Can we give him that hour of undivided attention? Be grateful for all God has done for us. You know, so many things in our lives we don't even think about that God has done. We know the big things that he has done. He's helped us get a job. He's helped us to get through maybe a medical crisis. He's helped our families. How about all the other things that he does? Do we recognize those things? And in Luke 17, Jesus lets us know that it is important to be grateful to God. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." If you look at that, Jesus was a little bit upset with the other 9, that they did not come back. In fact, he made it a point to say it was the only one to come back, this Samaritan. And if you know, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along very well. So Jesus was using this person that the Jewish people looked down upon, put him up on a pedestal for coming back and thanking God for healing him. Are we grateful to God in our lives? Just like on earth, when we mess up with our spouse or mess up with our kids or our parents or our friends and we sin, do we ask God's forgiveness for sin? And God wants us to know it's all right to ask him for forgiveness. In this from Psalms 130, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness." That should comfort us. That should give us hope that our sins are not going to be held against us. If we make a sincere apology, it's like it never happened in God's eyes. So that should give us hope. That should give us encouragement that when we do sin, it's all right. Well, it's not all right, but we can go back and we can ask for God's forgiveness and he'll forget that it ever happened. The last two, how many of us are proud of our faith? How many of us walk around proud that we are Christians? We're getting beat down right now in society. Being a Christian, we're labeled as hypocrites. We're labeled as bigots. We're labeled as a lot of bad things right now. Are we standing firm in our faith? Are we standing proud of our faith? You know, some of these football teams are going to start today, and they have no chance at all winning the Super Bowl. Just put that out there. Their teams are going to get beat down and all that this year. But I guarantee you, those Eagle fans are going to continue to wear their Eagles jerseys no matter what happens this year. No matter how bad they're getting beat down, they're going to continue to wear that midnight green to those games because they're proud of their team. They're proud to be that fan. Are we as proud of our faith? I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. So if we disown God, he's going to disown us. So if we're not proud of our faith and in any way disown or dishonor God before others, that's not going to be a good thing for us on Judgment Day. And finally, with any good relationship, all good loving relationships are based upon trust. Trusting God that he will take care of us and always be with us. In Matthew 28, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So those are the things from our end that we can do to improve our relationship with God. Keep him first in our lives. Be proud of our faith. Ask for forgiveness. All those things show that we love our Heavenly Father. And they're intertwined with our next part, which is, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Now, loving God, that's tough in and of itself. But loving your neighbor can even be tougher, because that's like right in your face. That is every day, right in your face. You have conversations with other people. You have to work with other people. We have to interact with others. So sometimes loving our neighbor can even be more difficult than showing God love. And if you think about it, is it easier for you to go and ask God's forgiveness? Or is it easier for you to go and ask someone in person for forgiveness? It's probably a little bit easier to ask God's forgiveness because he's not right there. Whereas the person is right, you're talking with them face to face. So first thing, what does it mean to love your neighbor? We do not harm our neighbor. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. So as Christians, we are not to harm others. Physically, emotionally, we are not to harm our neighbors. We show compassion, kindness, and patience. Three things that I know I need to work on a lot better. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sometimes, you know, as a school teacher, I work with 100 kids a year. I always wonder, why do I have more patience with them when I'm trying to teach them something than I have with my own son, which I feel bad about? Why do we sometimes find it easier to be patient with strangers than it is for the than towards people that we love? We forgive and do not hold it against them. So many people say, I can't forgive and forget. God knows that. God knows that it is very difficult for humans to do the forgetting part. But I think what God wants us to do is forgive and never bring it up again. If we truly forgive someone, we can't keep bringing it back up in their faces. Do you remember when you did that to me? Well, I thought you forgave me for that. Well, I did. Well, don't keep mentioning it then. You know, we forgive and we let it go. In fact, this is one of God's commands. We want forgiveness, we got to give it. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If we're holding grudges or holding bad feelings, all those times we ask for God's forgiveness, we might as well not have said anything. Because we truly have to forgive if we want God's forgiveness. And finally, we do not harm them with words. Our mouth, our tongue, as James says, is like one of the most powerful forces that we have on earth. We as Christians have to control what we say. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. This is from Titus. To be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. So many times it's easy for us to jump in on the slander, jump in and make fun of other people, or jump in and complain and so forth. We as Christians, we're called to not harm others with our words, to actually use our words to better situations, to help uplift others. That's showing love for our neighbor. To start to wrap up, the goals for God's checklist, they should become habits for us. As we grow as Christians, loving our God, loving our neighbor, hopefully they're becoming a part of our lives so we don't have to think about it so much. And as all goals go for Christians, we always want to bring glory to God, and we always want to help others to find their way to God. So if we start to live out God's checklist for us each and every day, hopefully others will come to find him. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And tough day in America. The attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the crashing of Flight 93, that changed us. That has changed our world, and not in a good way for the most part. But that day, when those planes were crashing, it may have seemed like for that instance, God's checklist went out the window. That evil was winning that day. And in fact, it did, partly. But also that day, you never saw God's checklist in action as you did when you saw the firefighters and the policemen go into those buildings. The people lining up to give blood, to do whatever they could to help those affected. The people who are trying to counsel families that lost friends and family members in the attacks. It's unfortunate that sometimes something like this brings God's checklist to life. These terrible tragedies. But that day, amidst all the evil that went on that day, God's checklist survived. And people started to pull together. And believe it or not, there was actually some unity in our country. Didn't last very long, but there was actually some unity in our country between Democrats, liberals, conservatives, Republicans. There was actually some unity. So there was God's checklist alive. We should pray as Christians that God's checklist becomes a part of our lives and a part of everyone's life so we can experience the peace that God intended us to have on earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we were able to come here to worship. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the guidelines of how to love you and how to love our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to live out your commands more closely each day. Help us to be examples for all those we meet. Help us to love you above all and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We continue to pray for the families that were affected with the 9/11 attacks. Please continue to comfort them because this is, every time this comes up, it has to bring up bad memories, and they're going to need strength. So please be with them, Lord. Please be with our military who continues to fight for our freedom. Please continue to be with our first responders who show their bravery every day. Please help us, Lord, as a country to glorify you, and may our leaders throughout the world work together for peace throughout between countries. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any needs that you want to come present before the church, or if you would like to become a member of God's family and be baptized, if we can serve you in any way, please come forward as we sing.